Barclay here, back with another podcast. So today, I'd like to talk about something that was, I think, one of the biggest turnarounds in my thought processes, like in my life, in terms of, it wasn't a big turnaround as such. It just summed up everything that I stand for, everything that I stand for in terms of thought and how I perceive the world and how I relate to it. How I don't allow it to sort of confuse me or things like that. So I'd like to kick it off with a quote that I came up with, like, last year. So when I actually wrote it up and posted it on my status, WhatsApp status, then a friend of mine, I know he's listening and he will confirm, he told me, "I hope you're writing this down because this is really good." So the quote goes, "There are no contradictions in nature. For contradictions are only misplaced reasoning for what is, is." So what that essentially says is that everything that you think is a paradox, everything that you think is, you know, when you go like, "Oh, but this, but that, but something has happened." But then you go ahead to think, "Oh no, but this, but that." But is not really, it's not a thing. Like, strictly speaking, it's not something that is, it exists in nature, but does not exist in nature. It only exists in our reasoning, in our capacity to understand. So like, you could say, "Oh, that guy would, he would only drink, eat junk food and stuff like that, and live a really reckless life, but he made it to 90 or made it to 100 years old and he's still going strong, and his peers died in their 60s, 50s, and so on," right? So that "but" right there, I don't know if you understand, but it does not exist in the nature of how the person, like, the reason why the person survived to that age and how that long. It's because you don't understand to the capacity of, like, what's happening underground or within his biology that allowed him, that gave him a pass over all these bad habits that he adopted, right? Perhaps it's genes and so on and stuff, but the important thing is, in nature there are no contradictions, right? If something has been possible, then there is no way there that is a contradiction. That is no way that's a surprise or something that should not happen. If it happens, then it's something that should happen, right? If let's say here on Earth, right, gravity, pulls things down, right? And or let's say it pulls anything with mass and with weight and so on. So it pulls it down, and that will happen every time, every single time. And gravity is something that we absolutely don't understand fully. Okay, yeah, let me speak for myself, because there might be scientists that actually are listening. But it's something that it's a force that is invisible, and let me just say, it's something that at some point you didn't understand, right? At some point, let's say mankind never understood why things fall, and we didn't really question it. But then afterwards, we looked at it and understood why and so on. So this drives me to a point to say, we tend to to add a but, right? Things that we don't understand, right? To things that we don't understand. So, but or contradictions or even paradoxes are things that only exist in our minds, right? Contradictions to say, oh, that, but this, that, right? So, I'll give you an example of such a thing that we don't really understand, but it works. Or for those that believe it does, and for those that have seen it, and that is witchcraft. Yeah, witchcraft and so on. I'm not someone who has witnessed it firsthand. I have seen footage, videos, and so on. I don't believe those videos are doctored. But here's the thing. When we look at magic, when we look at, you know, we look at witchcraft happening, we would think, oh, but that's not possible, but that's not possible, right? However, if something is possible in the way that it is, then there must be something that constituted the prerequisite for it to happen, right? So in the case of magic, in the case of witchcraft, there are still requirements for them to happen, for them to not be a contradiction in nature, in nature. I don't know how I can place magic in the face of nature, but I'll just say it in general, like in nature, right? Or in the nature of spirituality or whatever it is, but let's just take it as nature altogether, right? There are no contradictions. It's if you meet the requirements for performing magic, performing a disappearance, performing maybe, I don't know, flying or walking on water or whatever Chris Angel has attempted or whatever, that will not be a contradiction in the perspective of nature. It'll be a contradiction to your mind. And that also, you know, points to the primary goal when it comes to magic, and it's to make the, you know, to surprise the mind with something that it thinks shouldn't be possible, and yet, you know, seen obviously that it is possible. We don't know how and so on, but something that we know is that it's not a contradiction, right? So this is in line with, so the quote that I told you at the very beginning, at the very end of it, I said, because what is, is, right? So what is something that is a quote that simply acknowledges to say, whatever it is that makes it possible is what it is, or whatever is true is what is true, right? So I know a lot of people who you'd get into a sort of discussion about something that is opinion based, right? And I would very much be frustrated when someone is sort of like hovering around the matter in the way that it doesn't acknowledge to say there is an absolute truth out there, though, right? So this brings me down to, like, you know, opinions. Right. So, like, opinions, you know, we talk about, you know, there's no wrong opinion, but there is. In absolute terms, there is a wrong opinion. As an opinion, an opinion, if I have an opinion, it's not wrong for me to have an opinion, right? It's not wrong for me to have an opinion, but my opinion of a certain subject would be sort of expressing my capacity of understanding of that subject and the way that I would want it, or let's say the way that I understand it, and perhaps, you know, offering a solution that is based on that, you know, level of understanding that I have, right? Now, that your level of understanding is independent of, let's say, the full understanding that could be, or let's say that you would, if you, let's say, you would have if you fully understood that thing, right? So what that means is, like, if your opinion could be, let's say, 30% of, let's say, the 100% truth, right? But just because you have an opinion doesn't make, let's say, your opinion, or let's say that it doesn't kind of do away with there being 100% a level of understanding that is waiting for you to, you know, grasp, to be grasped, and so on. So that's about, you know, opinions as well. Your opinion is just an expression of what you know about what is, or what you think you know, or what you would like to. Sometimes, you know, opinions come from, you know, different ways. You know, it can come through different ways. You know, you could be expressing an opinion based on your experience and thinking that this particular new case is very much the same, right? There's no difference, but you could be ignoring certain factors that make your opinion, you know, invalid. Yeah, I'm talking about invalid subjective stuff here. So I think the world, it's, you know, it respects opinions because we don't know who knows the 100% of the truth, and we want to kind of sort of like gather as many as we can so that we get to like that 100% as close as we can to it. You know, that's why, you know, we usually are open to people's opinions and so on. Okay, so what do you think about this? You know, you get this expert on the matter, you get this guy, you get this guy. They all have a portion of that, let's say 100% that they could contribute. Maybe this guy will bring 1% of what these all other guys don't know, and this other guy will bring 20%, and that, you know, yeah. And that's what we try to do with opinions. And sometimes another guy will come in and they won't even touch the 100%, because maybe their reasoning will be completely flawed. And so at the end of the day, as much as you can maybe have all these, you know, discussions with your friends or online and so on about, you know, what is right and what is wrong, even subjects to do with humanity, right? Subjects to do with humanity and social, you know, things. Maybe you could talk about, you know, is maybe bullying, you know, should bullying be punished, or, you know, should, you know, currently in Zambia there's that issue, you know, or you could talk about, oh, should, you know, women be submissive to men and so on. There is always to all those very subjective, seemingly subjective topics, there is always an absolute truth out there, right? An absolute truth based on either your scientific reasoning or your, you know, religious reasoning. It could even be, you know, historical facts, and that's so there's always a fact out there. There's always a way in which is independent of your reasoning, right? Whether you know it or not, whether you have the 100% or not, that absolute truth absolutely exists out there. And that is something that I adopted, and I don't think there is a more solid, you know, belief, or let's say mode of reasoning that one can adopt, because this is absolute and it cannot be countered by other forms of reasoning to say, oh, well, what if this, what if that? I remember I was having this sort of argument where I was telling someone what is, and they're like, oh, what if that's not the truth? What if that's then whatever you say is the truth, then that's what it is. Not necessarily in all cases, because, but like, let's say whatever is the truth is what is. Yeah. So hopefully you guys got the point. Hopefully you enjoyed this subject as I have, breaking it down. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Tune in next time. This has been Barclay.